as we come to this time today where we look into your word, I pray that I might be your servant, that I will avail myself, that your message may be communicated, and anything that is not of you or from you will be blown away like chaff in the wind. Lord, we come to you and we seek to hear you, but at the same time we seek to know how to better worship. Enable us to experience you to the fullest through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the scripture that Emily just read, the first thing it says is, "If you love me, keep my commands." This was Jesus speaking. My first thought about this is that really what Jesus, another way of saying this, and a lot of different things can mean, but one small point could be that for us as Christians, at times there may need to be less talk and more action. I wonder if you've ever heard a scenario, or maybe even been in it yourself, where one significant other, one spouse has said to another when they're saying, "I love you, I care about you, I'm sorry," whatever it may be, and that person says, "Don't just tell me you love me, show me." We as Christians, I believe, sometimes get caught in that trap of doing more talking about what it means for us to be a Christian. Or maybe going through the motions of the different things like coming to church or serving on a committee than what it means to live our everyday life in terms of being a Christian. So I would challenge you to think about that today and what it may mean when Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." The first point I want to talk about is about the Holy Spirit. If you hadn't figured it out, Dave and Linda have done a great job of helping set us up for an understanding of what it might mean to embrace the Holy Spirit. I want to suggest, draw the analogy today, that the Holy Spirit would be our team MVP if you were talking as a sports analogy. And as a part of that MVP, I also want to say that he would be our personal coach. Our coach for life. And that's kind of got a dual meaning. He's our coach for life in that he's our coach forever. But he's our coach for life in that if we pay attention, he's going to be a coach for every aspect of our life. Just in case you weren't here for any of the past 4 weeks we've been here, I really and truly believe today ties together what we've talked about for the past 4 weeks, because you see, I believe the Holy Spirit desires to actively be a part of the things we've been talking about for 4 weeks. So I want to just go back and mention them. The first one, we talked about team means we, not me. And the fact that we're part of something bigger than ourselves, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and live into that. The second one, everyone deserves my respect. It doesn't say everyone except. Everyone deserves my respect. And as human beings, a lot of times we can't do that without the understanding and insight of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, all of us make mistakes. The Holy Spirit helps us to be able to learn from those mistakes instead of be defined by them. And last week we talked about my attitude and actions matter. We need to be aware of those. And by ourselves, we can't live up to what God's standard is, but through the Holy Spirit, we have power and ability beyond our own. The Holy Spirit, I talked about Him being a personal coach. The Holy Spirit is what I would consider to be a player coach. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's some coaches that they just stand back in their part, and it's appropriate, that's what they're supposed to do. They stand back in their part of helping the players play better by giving them insights on what they're supposed to be doing. But then occasionally, in some different scenarios, you can have a coach who is also a player. So they're an active part of the team and invested in being a part of doing all the things the players do as well. The Holy Spirit would be considered to be a player coach. Now, as we think about that and the fact that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in whatever we're doing, I want to go back to what our first statement was, where Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." I believe that with the Holy Spirit, we aren't to just listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say, but we have to be active with the Spirit as well. God expects us to keep His commandments. I'm wondering, how are you doing with that? How have you done with that in the past week? If you think back over the week, and not that you've got every commandment or every guideline in Scripture memorized, but in general, how have you done this past week in living life according to the commandments or guidelines that God lays before you? Well, we aren't supposed to try to do that by ourselves. And that's what today's Scripture is about. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to help us to better understand the guidelines, the commandments that God gives us, and occasionally to understand the ins and outs, the details of it better, instead of just accepting it blind. And then sometimes we're just supposed to do it because we know that's what God asks us to do. But following the Holy Spirit gives us ability beyond our own, but it doesn't mean it's easy. Trusting the Holy Spirit is a difficult thing. It's a risky thing because it's going to call us outside of our comfort zones. I want to give you an example of another coaching analogy. And I was honored to be able to be a part of a baseball team that went very far in postseason this year. And nobody gave us any thought that we would be able to go nearly as far as we did. And the reason for that is because there were a lot of teams we played that had better hitters than we did, and everybody knew it. They had a pitcher or two that was better than anybody on our team, and everybody knew it. But we decided as a team to focus on something that we thought we could do well instead of trying to be like somebody else, which is a sermon in and of itself we're not going to hear today. And that was that we had several fast runners on our team. And we had players who were pretty good at recognizing balls and strikes, so we taught them not to swing at balls, but if they got a pitch they could hit, they weren't striving to hit home runs. We just wanted them to get on base because our emphasis was on base running. Now, when we first started, it was a little bit challenging because in the league we're playing, you can what they call lead off the base. But when you lead off of the base, that means that the other opponents, they can throw the ball back, and if they tag you before you get back to that base, you're out. And these boys have been playing baseball long enough that they don't like getting out. In fact, they get very upset if they get out. And their coaches were telling them, get off the base. They're getting further and further from what they consider to be their safety zone. And we kept telling them, get a little bit further. Get a little bit further. They didn't like it. They were uncomfortable with it. It was taking a risk. There were point blank times we would look at them and say, take another step, and they would say no, even though we were the coach, because they were afraid. That happens with us and God through the Holy Spirit at times. God can be speaking to us. God can know what's best for us. God can desire something for us that we can't even imagine yet, and we look at God through the Holy Spirit and say, no, I'm not going to do it, because we're not willing to trust. We're not willing to take that risk. We have to trust the Holy Spirit has our back. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit sees a bigger picture. And just quickly to run through how that coach might see a bigger picture than what the player did. You see, the coaches that would give the steal signs, who weren't me, by the way, would spend a lot of time paying attention to the catchers before the game. And they would know what kind of arm the catcher had. They would know how accurate the catcher was. They would know how strong the catcher was to be able to throw the person out. They also paid attention to what was going on in the game, what the count was on the batter. They could tell by the stance of the opponents, of the pitcher, of the catcher, of the person that might be guarding the base they were on, and they could tell whether it was appropriate to stay closer or move a little bit further. And then again, there were times, and it took us a while for them to be able to understand this, but at times, even though we were telling them to get further and further away, what do you think the goal is in getting further and further away? What they understood was it gets them closer to the next bag so they can steal the base and be able to get there. A lot of times, that wasn't even the coach's goal. The coach's goal, they didn't want them to steal the base. They wanted them to get far enough out that they would throw the ball back to the base. You could dive back and get there just in time, but it would cause them to overthrow, and we would automatically get to the next base. There was strategy in there, but it was difficult for them at times to trust that the coaches understood what was going on. The same is true with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your personal coach. And just like those players can't look at the coach and say, "Yeah, coach, I know you want me to go there. I understood what you said," and then not move. There are times we do that with the Holy Spirit. We know what Scripture says. We've heard the sermons. We've heard the messages. We've studied it. We can repeat it to people. We know what the Ten Commandments are. And we say, "God, I know what that is. I know what that means." But then we don't do it. It requires action. It's not just agreeing with what God says through the Holy Spirit, but it's doing what God says. And at times it means taking a risk. Risk can be scary and uncomfortable. So I've had this question asked to me often. Say, "Greg, how do I know when the Holy Spirit is what's leading me? How do I know it's not just a whim? How do I know it's not just my thinking that I'm supposed to be doing these things?" I believe there's some guidance to be offered here as well. The thing I would say first, and the way I describe it, is I believe it's important for us to win the first battle of the day. What does that mean? When we get up in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think about? What's the first thing you do? I'm not saying you need to get up and have a quiet time and devotion every morning. For some people, like my wife, that's just not going to happen. That's not who she is, and I'm not saying everybody needs to be that way, but I'm saying we need to make an intentional effort when we wake up in the morning that somehow or another, whatever way is appropriate with you and your personality, you let the first connection you make be with God. It may be simply you get up and walk and look out your bedroom window at what God is offering that day and acknowledge that God is doing it. It may be listening to Christian music as you're waking up. It may be simply saying a prayer. It may be doing a quiet time. But I want to challenge you, if you will win the first battle of the day, and the reason I call it a battle is because if you're not being intentional in that, Satan's going to throw something your way that he wants to use to set the foundation for how your day is going to start. So we've got to be intentional in winning that first battle so that Satan doesn't. And as you do that, then you're able to be more connected on a daily basis to what God's trying to say and do through the Holy Spirit. Win the first battle of the day. The second is acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16 that we just heard read, this is what it says: "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." The Holy Spirit is there to help you, and it doesn't mean that it's just a general help. It means that the Holy Spirit is there to specifically help you in your day. We need to acknowledge that and know that. The scripture that we read today says that. And the Holy Spirit works in a very real, specific way. There's lots of different ways, but I want to tell you this happens. I don't want you to leave here not understanding how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Now, the Holy Spirit, a lot of times when we mention it, people's minds go to the Holy Spirit being about these types of people that they spend all their time yelling and raising their hands and screaming and talking in tongues. Now, honestly, most of that stuff done appropriately is scriptural, and I'm not speaking against that one bit. But that doesn't necessarily mean all of us need to be doing that, but all of us do need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Every believer is to be connected to the Holy Spirit, and we need to understand, we don't put the Holy Spirit and what being a part of the Holy Spirit is in a box. We understand it through what the Bible says. And I want to give you an example of something, and this happened to me one time, but there are many examples. I just want you to understand and know from me how this happened. It was probably 20 years ago. I was coming back from seminary, driving to my office at the church I was at the time, and I'm driving down the road, and it was as almost my car drove itself into a driveway. Drove into a driveway of a couple that I kind of knew. They had been to the church. We had been a couple of times. It was the father of a youth leader that we had at the time. And I wasn't uncomfortable doing it. It just seemed kind of strange. Just out of nowhere, for me, have no specific reason, I turned into this driveway. I just felt for sure it was what I was supposed to do. I go up and I knock on the door, and the person comes to the door, invites me in, and we sit down and we talk for 30 minutes to an hour. And then I leave. We've had a good discussion. He's talking about some fears that he has about health-related concerns that are going on, and I had a prayer with him, and he was very appreciative. And as I leave, get back to my office, I've been there maybe an hour or so, and I get a phone call. That phone call is from his son. He called and he said, "Greg, did you just go see my dad?" I said, "I did." He said, "Why did you go see him?" "I'm not really sure. It was something I decided to do." He said, "You know, he called me after you left and thanked me for asking him to come see you, because he had called me that morning and told me that he wanted to see you and talk to you and pray with you." So two things there I want you to be aware of when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And this is not an isolated situation for me. As I begin to pay attention to it, it happens over and over and over again. The Spirit is and truly does speak to you as an inner voice, and it's not your conscience. There's a difference in your conscience and the Holy Spirit speaking, and you need to know that. But it's real, and if you will pay attention, the Holy Spirit speaks to every believer. But not only that, if you're paying attention, just like that phone call I got many, many times over and over again, not only will you have that inner voice, but you will also hear confirmation of what that inner voice has said. And you will know that you know that it's God. And then there's another scripture. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And I believe that if we're following the Holy Spirit, even when it's risky, even when it's challenging, even when it's uncertain, there's a sense of peace that comes from being where the Holy Spirit wants us to be. So that's another way of recognizing that we're listening and hearing and paying attention to the Holy Spirit. And finally, the more we listen, the more we obey the Holy Spirit, the more we will hear. I just know that to be true, not only from my experience, but others as well. I want us to look at verse 20 of the scripture that we just had. "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." God is in you, and God is through you. We become intertwined with God through the Holy Spirit. That's what this scripture is talking about, that we understand that we're in God and God's in us, and it's connected in a way that we live our lives, that there's not a separateness. One of my favorite scriptures that I think depicts this as well comes from Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, and it says this, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Take delight in the Lord. Spend time with God. Enjoy Him. Be in His presence. And what does it say? You will, not you might, He will give you the desires of your heart. So when you're intertwined in that way, when you're connected to God in that way, God's will becomes your will. So it's not that your will is an adversity to God's will and you have to figure that out. You become so connected that God gives you the desires of your heart because you're desiring what God desires. And then this brings us to a place to full circle. Jesus finishes the way he starts, saying, "He who keeps my command loves me." Again, I believe at times we need to have less talk and more action. We're to experience the full presence and love of God through the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a time of invitation now. Our deacons during the invitation will come up to the front. But this is what I want you to consider. God's love is real. Accept it. God's sacrifice is real. Receive it. The presence of the Holy Spirit is real. Experience it. I'll share that once again. And as we come to a time of invitation, as we approach communion today, I want us to embrace the Trinity and respond to God through the Trinity, however He may be leading you. God's love is real. Accept it. Jesus' sacrifice is real. Receive it. The presence of the Holy Spirit is real. Experience it. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward. And we'll have our time of invitation. And as they do, please acknowledge the Holy Spirit right now. And as you experience it, it's going to be different for Betty than it is for Debbie. It's going to be different for Joey than it is for Josh. It's going to be different for Dennis than it is for Matt. But it's just like the relationship I have with each of you is different. But it is real. And the Holy Spirit desires for you to acknowledge and know that presence today in a very, very powerful way. And if you do, it will change you. It will change your view and your outlook as you go out, not because today is something special, but because every day that will happen if we embrace the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together and sing.